He's in the building, but you know, there's a lot of administration stuff that needs to go from physical to signing the actual signing of the contract to getting his uniform and helmet fit and all that different stuff. So, you know, that's the plan, but you know, hopefully that'll happen. If not, it's not a setback.
What do you envision his role being on this team?
We'll see. You know, we're a merit-based defense. We don't go in with a whole lot of preconceived notions. He's not here to replace anybody. He's here to add to our group, you know, and I think that as coaches, our job is to find out what guys do the best and what guys bring to the party. Everybody's got something different they bring to the party. And, you know, we embrace that and try to find a role for all of those guys. But what role he's going to play, you know, is yet to be determined.
What does he bring to the party? What does he bring to the party?
You know, he's a very experienced player. He's played at a high level of production. Plays with a lot of spirit. He's heavy in the run game. He's got natural leverage. That's a kind way of saying he's short, but he's really powerful. He understands blocking schemes. You know, and he has good understanding of pass game. He's got a little bit of experience in the defense. I don't know if that means a whole lot. He's a good player. It stands on its own. He's done it in different schemes.
How much stock do you put in what you see in the preseason games? Defense has obviously played pretty well the first two games. And have you ever been fooled by something you saw in preseason when you got to the regular season?
Yeah, I don't know that you say fooled by it, but you can get a skewed version or skewed vision of it. I mean, for a long time I was in Tennessee, and our biggest division rival was the Colts. And every year the Colts would go 0-4 in the preseason. And if you said, oh, they're going to be down this year, you were on the wrong boat. You know, they were a veteran team. They were getting through. Peyton didn't play a whole lot. Every year they were Super Bowl. Every year they were Super Bowl contender. And another part of it, before I got to Detroit, the year that they went 0-16, they were 4-0 in the preseason. So take it for what it is. I think that, hey, we got parking lot? We got like traffic jam going on around here? Good gracious. So you can read a little bit. Here's what I think it's important to see how well we're executing the scheme, to see individual individual production within the scheme. Can you make the plays that should come to you? One of the things I liked about the game on Thursday, is that when we played? I don't even know what day it is. But that long drive, that 16-play drive, that's very, very difficult for a defense. And they were going, you know, 3 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, and they kept, you know, sort of moving the chains. And that's a difficult situation. Usually in those 16 plays, somebody breaks down. Somebody misses a tackle, somebody blows an assignment, somebody gets frustrated and tries to make a play they shouldn't make, and then you end up with a touchdown. What I was proud of the defense in that case was nobody panicked. They just kept playing. Everybody did their assignment. We ended up with a turnover that came off of it. I think you're looking for those things in the preseason.
Jim, I wanted to ask you about Jalen Watkins and what he's shown you, especially in the two games.
Yeah, you know, Jalen has a skill set of corner / safety, played both at Florida, you know, and we've moved him to safety to try to take advantage of that. His challenge had always been tackling and run game. You know, last year, if you watched a little bit of him, that's where he broke down a little bit. And early in camp this year, that's where he broke down. I think he's worked very hard, and the coaches have worked very hard with him to address that, and you're seeing the results of that. He's playing more aggressively in the run game, and there's times that safeties can play aggressively, and there's times where they can't. You know, when you're the last line of defense, you got to get that guy on the ground wherever you can. But there's sometimes where there's leverage and there's holes to fill. You need to be a missile. You need to go fill it, and he's done a good job of that. So I think he's on the right track. We just need to keep seeing improvement from him. He's kind of, I'm very proud of him. He's done a really good job, and you know, it's easy to work on your strengths. He's really shown that he's willing to work on his weaknesses, and it's shown on the field.
Jim, have you ever rotated at linebacker, having more than three, specializing in him?
Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable with this group, with Tully City's rundown?
Yeah, I think I go back. Yet to be seen. But I think that falls into my terrible analogy of everybody brings something to the party. You know, I mean, You know, if everybody bought the same thing, it would be a crappy party, you know. Or it might be a really good party. It might, maybe you look at it that. Maybe it's a really good one. But if everybody brings the same thing, you know, I mean, you got to accentuate each guy's strengths. We talk about that a lot as a defensive line with rolling guys through. We do it as a secondary. There's nickels. There's dimes. There's things like that. There's no reason that you can't do that as linebackers.
What do you see from Nolan Carroll on Thursday against the Steelers?
See the same stuff that we saw from him last year. He's a veteran player. He's from before he got hurt last year. He was playing. There's the motorcycles. Awesome. Nolan. Right off the bat, we were in a run stopping defense. They were in a run set. Quarterback checked to a pass. Nolan just went up. I thought that was really the tone setter for the day, because they tried to take a shot right away. He's in great position, knocks the ball away, not even breaking a sweat. That set up his interception later on too. Very reliable. He's a pro. Been very pleased with him, and he's done a really good job of managing his body as he's come off of that injury.
If I could ask you about Marcus Smith and Stephen Means, it seemed like they were pretty active, obviously, in the game against the Steelers. What have you kind of seen from them so far?
Same stuff we've seen from those guys in training camp just about every day. I mean, you guys were probably on Stephen Means before anybody else, because you saw the same things we saw. And Marcus was doing really well. He just had to set back with the concussion and missed time. But he sort of picked up right where he left off. The thing I'm most proud about with Marcus is that he's done a good job in the run game. You know, it's not just – it's a little bit like, you know, talking about Jalen Watkins. You know, he's a very skilled athlete. You know, he's fast. He's smooth. I think he was a quarterback when he first went to Louisville. I mean, that stuff shows where he has really made good improvement is setting the edge of our defense, attacking tackles. He did that against a physical group from Pittsburgh. That was a great sign.
How do you view the dichotomy between – playing to win right now, as you mentioned, is a merit-based defense versus throwing in developing young talent into the deep end of the pool?
You always want to develop. I think you can do both. I mean, why does one have to be mutual? Why do they have to be mutually exclusive? You know, there's ways to develop talent and still have an approach that you're going to win. I think we owe it to the locker room. We owe it to the fans. We're going to try our very best to win every single game. You know, and there's never been a word of any difference in this building. We're going to try everything we can to win every game that we play. So, you know, developing players in that, I don't know that you can't do both.
How much did Mike Martin miss by being out, and is he still considered one of the top backup interior linemen?
He was doing very well before he missed that time. He fits the defense. He was making life hard on the offensive linemen, which is what you want from those guys. He did have a setback as far as missed time. Hopefully we can get him back on the field, and like a guy like Marcus or even, you know, Jalen Mills or Nolan Carroll, any of those guys that's missed time, he can step right back in and pick up where he left off, because he was playing at a high level before he missed the time.
Free Lackham hasn't been here very long, but the challenge is generally just a 6'5". 4-4 receiver through the defense.
Yeah, I'll just try to stay on the defensive side. You ask those questions to the offensive guys. You know, I mean, those big basketball wide receivers.
With Tolik, do you have a sense of his fitness for an older guy who hasn't been in a camp? How do you approach him in practice and that kind of thing?
I did have a conversation with him. He said he had been training twice a day. I mean, he knows. He's a veteran player. He's been through, I think this is 11 years for him, might be 12. You know, other than the ACL, I don't think, and maybe it's since he left, but I know when I was with him in Detroit, we tried to give him a vet day off in training camp and told the trainers, hey, you know, Tully will be down today. And he came in my office mad as a hornet and was ready to practice. And I'm like, you know, hey, look, you know, let's, you know, you're starting to get up a little bit. Let's be smart with this. And he's like, you're ruining my streak. I'm like, what are you talking about? Coach, I've never missed a practice. Never missed a game, but he had never missed a practice. And I think he said going back to high school, going back to NC State high school, 8 years at the NFL, he had never missed a practice in the NFL. So guys like that, there's, you know, they know how to get themselves ready. He knows he's not coming in here with his eyes shut, not knowing what he's getting into. I mean, he's done it before. He'll be able to do that. I'd be very surprised if it was a different case.
Did you still make him sit that day?
Oh, no, he went out to practice. We cut his reps a little bit, but he still went out. I respect that. I respect guys that want. I mean, I had the same thing with Calvin Johnson, same thing with Kyle Vandenbosch. You know, those guys that, you know, we have some guys here that don't like that. You know, they want to be out there with their teammates. That's even if they're not taking their full regimen of reps, they feel like their presence on the field helps, and it does. We cut his reps a little bit. We compromise a little bit. I'm not a big compromiser, but I respect guys that have played a long time. I have tremendous respect for guys that get 10 years in the NFL. Because you can't make 10 years on talent alone. You can't make 10 years by being a try-hard guy. You got to have a great combination of things. And, you know, and also in 10 years, just face it, you're going to be working with different coaching staffs in 10 years. You got to have the ability to work in a lot of different schemes, whether you're an offensive player or a defensive player. You know, I'll bow down to guys that play 10 years in this league because that's tough business.
Is this thing two more questions, guys? The most important in your mind, you put extra stock in it, and it's important that you guys go against a lock for an extended period, especially after not facing Ben.
We play whoever they put out there, and it doesn't matter if it's regular season or preseason. We can't control that, so I don't know if I want to read too much into that. Every game's important. There's competition for jobs. There's competition for roster spot. There's some guys that are trying to make a good impression to hopefully make the practice squad. So that's important enough for our guys without putting anything to do with the Colts.
In Malcolm Jenkins' case, he wants to play the slot. That's something he's discussed. Is that a role you see him fitting on this team?
Well, he does. He does. Both him and Rodney have to do it in our base defense. And having those guys give you the ability to not have to go to nickel personnel when teams run three wide receivers. And, you know, that's the profile of safeties has changed over the years. You know, that big in-the-box safety that was an extra linebacker, you know, that's a tough guy to hide because the offense can personnel you and things like that. But it's a security blanket for the coordinator, for the coach, to know that if they do give you a third wide receiver, they give you a set that, you know, you got to have a matchup. It blitz, whatever it is, that you have guys that can do that. I mean, if you're in nickel and you want to run a blitz, one of your safeties is going to have to cover a wide receiver. So he does do that in our scheme, and it's very valuable. It might be on first and 10. It might be coming. It might not be what you think of playing the slot, but it might be coming out of our base package. It doesn't make it any less important. He's a very valuable guy, and I'd say Rodney in that same vein. Both of those guys have corner in their background, and that was part of the profile of us bringing them here. Okay, thanks, guys.